One night this week, I was at home. It was early evening and it was cold outside. It was dark, too, because the sun, it seemed, had decided to call it quits around noon that day. I have to admit, I was tired and a little depressed by the cold and the dark. That happens this time of year. So there I am, at home, sitting in a chair, flipping through a magazine, when I encountered a full-page advertisement featuring a man and a woman walking along a sparkling white beach next to a turquoise ocean. The sun was bright, and I could only imagine the reading on the local thermometer, quite different from my current situation. The advertisement in the magazine was for an all-inclusive beach resort called Sandals. That name, Sandals, has always amused me. It's rather silly, but it makes its point. We associate wearing sandals with being casual and relaxed. You don't wear sandals when you have responsibility. Sandals are comfortable, playful. You wear sandals at the beach when it's warm. If I am going to shell out my money to go to a Caribbean resort to escape the dreary cold of winter, then I would prefer to be at a place called Sandals as opposed to a place called, Frozen Tundra Resort. In the same way, I would rather not eat at a restaurant called Stomach Cramp Bistro. In our reading for today, John the Baptist discusses sandals, but he is not packing for his vacation. He is speaking of the footwear of the Messiah. And those sandals, he asserts, he is not worthy to carry. In John's day, sandals were not casual footwear. They were everyday shoes. The styles of that day were not all that different from the sandals we wear today. They were constructed of two or three layers of leather sewn together, and that served as the sole. There were straps attached to the sole that held the sandal to the foot. In Palestine, the straps were simple. Those sandals that we think about that have the ornamental straps that wrap up the leg, that was a fashion accessory made popular by the Romans. While sandals are good at protecting the bottoms of your feet as you walk, protecting you from sharp rocks or other objects on the ground, they are not so good at keeping your feet clean like a fully enclosed shoe or boot would do. Whenever I wear sandals, my feet are going to come back dusty from wherever I've been. In John's day, however, walking through any village or town meant that you were probably walking through what, I'll just refer to it as muck. The streets were likely paved with this compacted mixture of animal droppings, household garbage, and even human waste. Many streets just served as open sewers. To walk down a street meant that your feet were going to get caked in this disgusting muck. Your feet would be filthy and your sandals would be even filthier. It's for this reason that even in the Middle Eastern cultures today, the shoe is considered to be offensive. To show someone the bottoms of your shoe is highly insulting. It's dirty. But knowing about this muck gives weight to John's confession when he says, "I am not worthy to carry his sandals." John here is talking about the Messiah, the one the Jews were looking for and waiting for, the one who would save his people. The verb for carry or carrying is a word that is associated with slaves or servants. It was their job to carry or to bear items for the master. carrying the master's muck-encrusted sandals would have fallen to the lowest of the slaves. And people had inquired if John is the Messiah, and he makes it clear that no, he is not. He is not worthy to even be the master's lowliest servant, to hold those mucky shoes. John the Baptist is one of the most interesting people that we meet in the New Testament. The Gospel of Luke describes in detail John's birth to Elizabeth and Zechariah. All four of the Gospels begin their chronicle of Jesus' ministry by introducing John. John is the one who sets the stage for the coming Messiah. John himself was a preacher. His father had been a priest, and John may have been a priest as well. Although we have no evidence, it is speculated that John was a member of the Jewish religious sect known as the Essenes. Essenes mostly lived in monastic communities. They held their property in common and they took vows of poverty. They meticulously observed the law of Moses, the Sabbath, and the laws of ritual purity. John's ministry was centered in the Judean wilderness at the Jordan River south of Jerusalem. And John preached a message of repentance. His core message was one that Jesus himself would later employ. It said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." There's no doubt that in his day, John was something of a celebrity. He's mentioned in all four Gospels. We read that people left the cities and traveled out to the wilderness to hear him preach. We know that King Herod even knew about John the Baptist. And the one thing that set John apart was his mode of dress. John dressed like an old-timey prophet with a camel hair cloak cinched tight with a leather belt. The people of his day, they looked at him the same way that we might look at someone who's dressed like George Washington. We would recognize that they were from a different time. John ate simple foods that were found in the wilderness. And to the first century Judeans, John was a person from another time and place. Furthermore, he preached using the words of the ancient prophets such as Isaiah. And because of all this, people wanted to know if he was the promised Messiah. John said that he was not. In his preaching, John warns people that they must get ready. They must prepare themselves. God's kingdom was coming near. One way that they could prepare was to repent, to change their lives, to follow God's will, to seek out God's path. And to illustrate this repentance, John invited the people to be baptized. Now, John's baptism is not like the baptism instituted by Jesus that we observe. Rather, it was a ceremonial washing, something the Essene community practiced every day. Our baptism marks the inauguration of a new way of life in Christ. It's more than just a ritual washing. Today is the second Sunday of the season of Advent. Christmas will be here soon. Christmas is our celebration of God's incarnation, God coming to us in the flesh as one of us. I want you to imagine something. Imagine that you desired to learn a new language. You wanted to learn to speak Mandarin. So you sign up for an online internet course to learn Mandarin. And you try really hard. You are diligent and you work day after day, week after week, for what seems like forever. But you just can't get it. You can't grasp the language. Finally, the creator of this language course contacts you. He's aware of your test scores and the progress that you have not been making. And he sends you the message that in 4 weeks, he will be coming to tutor you in person. And he commits to work with you until you become fluent in Mandarin. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. That God comes to us to help us find our way, to show us the way to himself. Last Sunday, we read these words from the prophet Isaiah. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways. To know salvation is to know God's ways. God comes to us, but God doesn't show up unannounced. God sends messengers and prophets to proclaim his arrival. Agents such as Isaiah and John, as John proclaims to the people, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The season of Advent is not just 4 weeks of our year positioned just before Christmas. Advent is that time between when we receive the message that God is coming and when God finally arrives. Advent is the time for us to get ready to clean the house, stock the pantry, make up the guest bed. Time to prepare our souls to stand in the presence of the Lord. God came to us as Jesus the Christ, and God will come again in glory. We have heard the announcement. We got the message. We got the email. Are we getting prepared? Advent is a time for us to prepare for God's kingdom. One last thing. If we were to look at the fourth gospel, the gospel according to John, different John, we find something startling. Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem for the Passover festival and have reserved a room where they may eat together. They don't know it, but this will be Jesus' final meal with them. He will be arrested that night. Before the meal begins, as the disciples have gathered, Jesus does something unusual. He takes a towel and a basin of water, and he goes around and washes the feet of his disciples. Now, ordinary hospitality of the day required that a host simply provide water for their guests to wash their own feet. The host was not expected to do the washing. If there was a slave available, that person may be assigned to the task. Years earlier, John the Baptist stated that he was not worthy to even carry the sandals of the coming Savior. And now we see Jesus, the Master, the Messiah, stooping down himself to clean the muck of the world off the feet of his followers. In the season of Advent, it is crucial to remember the God whose birth we celebrate and whose presence we anticipate. This is what we prepare for. We are preparing for the God who is creator, but who also bows down to us in humble service. We are not worthy, and yet he loves us. Amen.